Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City! A 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime! Kansas City wins the game!
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk hosts as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
I am here to talk to you guys about a domination. I am here to talk to you guys for however long we need to about how one team completely owns and controls their opposition. It is almost impossible for one team to have mind control and body control and spirit control over another team more than what the Royals have over the White Sox. We laugh and joke about the Chiefs in the AFC West, and there is no question how they dominate the other three teams in the division. We've seen it over the last 5-6 years or so, how the Chiefs dominate the Broncos, the Chargers, the Raiders. It pales in comparison to what we have seen the last year and a half between the Chiefs, between the Royals and the Chicago White Sox. We'll talk about that here over the course of the final hour of the show. My name is Carrington Harrison. Really happy to be here with you. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. I don't know if it could be a more gorgeous spring day out there than what we currently have today. We will talk more about this tomorrow than today. And I understand that we are about to start graduations and school is still in session. I certainly hope people show up this weekend at Kauffman Stadium. The Royals are not one of the hottest teams in baseball. They are the hottest team in baseball. It is going to be a high of 75 degrees and there will not be a rain cloud in sight. You have one of the most popular teams in baseball that are coming to Kauffman Stadium for a 3-game set this weekend. And again, you cannot be hotter than what the Royals have been. Rob, they have won 15 of their last 17 games, and we just saw them completely dismantle the Chicago White Sox. Let's talk about it from this perspective. All right, this is it. In this series, the Royals outscored the White Sox 19-4. 19-4, they outscored the Chicago White Sox. Rob, we have talked a lot about the starting pitching for the Kansas City Royals and how dominant they've been. Well, you got it on full display in this series. The Royals starters against the White Sox pitched 25 2/3 innings and gave up one earned run in this series. Again, it is impossible for you to dominate a team and to control a team much better than what the Royals did this weekend against the Chicago White Sox. I will give the Royals a lot of credit for this. And we can talk about the Royals maybe not doing this against the upper echelon teams. I'm not ready to have that conversation today. I don't think there's a reason to have that conversation today. The Royals have had the White Sox and the Rockies on the schedule. Maybe the Royals don't win the division, but you know what? It will not be because they didn't take care of their business against the teams they were supposed to take care of business against. They dominated the Rockies, and that's what got them going on this hot streak when the Royals were, they weren't even treading water at that point. The Royals were drowning when that happened. And on the back end of this, to continue their hot streak, they had a four-game series against the team in their division. And they dominated them from start to finish. I mean, the worst case scenario would have been that they lost that game a couple of days ago, in which the White Sox completely faded away in the ninth inning. Aside from that, they were in complete control of this thing from start to finish, Rob.
It's funny. I was listening to the broadcast today, and I believe it was in the eighth or the ninth inning. I don't recall. But Denny was doing the game, and Denny said, from the first inning on, the White Sox never stood a chance. There was never a moment, if you were watching today's game, that you felt like, oh, the White Sox can beat the Royals. There have been times in this domination the Royals have had over the White Sox, dating back to last April, by the way, that you thought, oh, the White Sox might get one. This series, you thought the White Sox might get one. That one was not today. Bubich went out there, had a good first inning. End of threat. The Royals scored in the first. The Royals scored again, I believe, in the second. And then it was just a matter of how big the margin's going to be and what time the game ends, because the White Sox were not interested in being competitive today. You know how I know? They at one point pitched a position player, which is the epitome of a white flag in sports. This was never competitive, and this series had one moment of competitiveness. Other than that, the Royals do what you're supposed to do. Take care of business and dominate a hapless team.
This is a pretty important conversation that I think we should have about the Royals. And I understand that people are looking at this hot streak from the Royals, and you can't play better baseball than they've played. They've won six in a row. They've won 9 of their last 10. They've won 15 of their last 17 games. And the Royals still find themselves in third place in their division. They're 2 games back of the Tigers, and they're tied right now with the Cleveland Guardians. I understand thinking if you have a stretch like the one that the Royals have had, you expect to maybe be 3 or 4 games up when you've been white hot for as long as the Royals have been. There's just way too much time left in the schedule for me to really, really be up in arms about it. The Royals have 123 games left this season. We haven't gotten to Memorial Day yet. We're still 2 months away from the All-Star break. I'm not at the point now where I'm really looking at the standings. To me, the question is this, I think we are already ready to have this conversation about the Royals. Are they going to spend a little bit of money at the deadline to go add an impact bat? Everything else on this team feels like you can make a little bit of a run. Everything else about this team, whether you were talking about the rotation, whether you're talking about the bullpen, I would say if you were talking about the top 4 or 5 in this lineup, everything about the Royals right now feels like a team that could be a very dangerous threat. We talked about this a couple of days ago, that the Royals are a B-minus B student. Well, if you're looking at the American League, how many teams would you say definitively are better than the Royals? So I think it's one of those things that if you get yourself in the dance, if you are healthy, if you make the proper adjustments and go out there and spend a little bit of equity to improve the roster, you feel like you give yourself as good of a chance of any. I know that we're not close to having this, and no team is selling off parts in the early part of May. But the question to me now for the Royals is, and for the ownership group, is you remember, John Sherman said, our goal is to get into the dance. And if you get into the dance and you repeatedly get into the dance, you give yourself a chance to do something special. Well, it looks like the Royals are going to give themselves a chance at the deadline to potentially do something special. I think it is obvious where the blind spots and weaknesses are for this organization and this team. Is the ownership group ready to spend the capital to go out there? Are they willing to part with some assets, some really good starting pitching that they are developing in the minor leagues? Are they ready to piece that together to go get the impact bat that they could potentially need to hit fifth or sixth in this lineup? That could be the difference between you beating the Yankees in round one or losing to the Yankees again in round one. That's the biggest question for me now with the Royals.
And the only way to answer that question is to have it happen. But if you were asking me the question on May 8th, do you think ownership is going to do that? I would say yes. Because Vern pointed this stat out. At this point last year, the Royals had the exact same record they have this year. Do you know what the ownership group and the organization did at the trade deadline last season? They brought in talent. Now, last year, they didn't bring in hitting talent because it wasn't like, oh, they have to get a bat. Remember, last year, the conversation was, boy, they got to shore up the bullpen. Because me and you, last summer, had endless segments where it felt like, man, they got to do better than James MacArthur. They just got to do better than James MacArthur. They don't have a ninth inning guy. They don't have an eighth inning guy. The big question last year was bullpen, bullpen, bullpen. Well, at the deadline, the Royals added a starter, which allowed them to bump one of their starting arms into the bullpen, which bolstered the bullpen. They then went out and made a big-time trade for Lucas Hrsek. Last year at the deadline, ownership said, I get it. Point to the biggest problem. Let's go fix it, me and you. And he and JJ went out and fixed it. Now, I don't know that a Lucas Hrsek type of bat is going to be available in 2 months. I don't know what I don't know. But I would say, to answer your question, ownership last year showed us, if you're going to put a competitive ball club and play good baseball, we're going to bolster where we can bolster. Last year they did it with a pen. I believe they will do it again this year with their bats. And as the text line continues to say, at some point this summer, Jack Caglione is going to be part of this equation. So they can add a bat and add Jack Caglione, and suddenly your offense in August could be beyond dangerous. But this is the same record they had last season. Last season they added. I believe they will add this year again.
Text line 913-586-7965. Seed out of 5-2 runs suggests they don't need to make any changes. I'm not here to poke any holes in the Kansas City Royals. Not at all. Not here to poke any holes in the Royals. 7 of those wins are against the White Sox and the Rockies. Again, not here to poke any holes in the Royals. And today, Rob, did you know every player for the Royals got a hit except one? Guess who that player was? Just take a guess. Every player who played for the Royals today got a hit. Take a guess who the one was that didn't.
Oh, whew. There's so many good bats. Is it the right fielder? Because I feel like it's the right fielder.
Hunter Renfroe. So you're telling me, hey, 15-2, they don't need to make changes. They're still letting Hunter Renfroe have at bats. Yes. We don't got to argue about it. Yes. There are still improvements that the Royals can make to their club. Getting Hunter Renfroe out of the lineup permanently and replacing him with somebody who can help drive in runs would improve this team and give this team a better chance to advance in the postseason, which is ultimately what we all want them to do. I mean, today was the day to go. I mean, Hunter Renfroe, you don't get a hit today? Nothing? You didn't give us nothing today? Okay. All right. All right. Someone on the text line says 913-586-7965. The only asset you have is Cags. After that, say goodbye to your starting pitching. I disagree that Cags is the only asset that they have. I mean, they just had somebody pitch 10 days ago that almost threw a no-hitter that they don't have room for. We just talk about one minor league player. There's enough talent there that if you are willing to make a move and do something, you can improve the outfield and find yourself a quality everyday outfielder. I think that's all the Royals need at this point. Again, we got a lot of time to have this conversation. It is the only thing that they need. They need one thing. The same thing we thought they needed in the offseason, but they didn't go pick it up. All right, cool. Well, at the deadline, I think we are starting to see who's going to be in this thing to the end and who potentially could not be at this thing in the end. It's time to pick off one of those players. Someone on the text line makes a really good point. The Royals had the best record in 2015 and still added. Yes, you can still make changes. I think it's a very good point. The Royals in 2015 had gone to the World Series with the best team in baseball. They didn't just make one change. They made two changes. They added a starting pitching and an everyday starter to that team. The Royals should be in the business of buying. We haven't had many trade deadlines where the Royals have been in the position of power where they're going to be the team that is looking to add. Usually, they are the team that people are coming to pick off. You usually have a back-end starter that somebody wants. You usually have somebody in the bullpen that teams are looking to come take. No, the Royals should be out here looking at bad teams and looking if you can go add somebody. If you can go add a Jazz Chisholm the way that the Yankees did last year. If you can go add an impact bat that could hit sixth or seventh in this lineup. They should be looking for that kind of team.
The Royals don't have the best minor league system in the world. But last year with a worse minor league system, you know what they were able to do? Add Lucas Urseg. Right now, if I were to poll the text line, hey, what did the Royals give up for Lucas Urseg, who is, I believe, leads baseball in holds and might be their best bullpen arm and was fantastic in the postseason last year and has been dominant this year. Hey, what did the Royals give up for to the A's to get that player? 9 people out of 10 on the text line would have no idea what they gave up. Sometimes you can make minor league trades and you don't have to give up the big sexy name. You can go get a Johnny Cueto without having to give up the best prospect. I guess Cueto's a bad example. You can go get a Urseg without giving your best prospect. Yes, if you're going to get the best bat available, it might cost one of your best prospects. But you can get a quality bat without hemorrhaging the farm system. You're allowed to do both, and I think the Royals will be doing both this season. They see what we see. They are third place in AL Central. They are one of the best pitching staffs, if not the best pitching staff in baseball. They have an offense issue. If they can add more offense, they can become a real problem for someone else.
If you had to guess right now, what do you think the attendance is going to be tomorrow?
It's going to be over 30. Over 30. Friday night, good weather. The Red Sox are in town.
You're very optimistic if you think they're getting over 30.
Fireworks Friday on a Friday.
I'm with you. 30. There are a lot of reasons to think that they should get over 30. You think they're getting over 30 tomorrow?
Because 30.
If I had to guess, that will be the number one story tomorrow is what will the attendance look like for the Royals? Hottest team in baseball, big market club coming into town, perfect weather, Firework Friday. It is the combination of which, if you were on the fence about this team and unsure about what your plans are for the evening, hey, honey, let's grab the kids. Let's go out to the park. Especially now, the games move faster than ever. Game starts tomorrow, 6:40? You're probably out of there by 9 o'clock, 9:10? It might be time to go out to Kauffman Stadium tomorrow.
I mean, this weekend's a great weekend for it. I mean, tomorrow night, we laid out all the reasons. Saturday, you get to see Cole Reagans and Garrett Crochet, two of the best pitchers in baseball. Like, and it's another beautiful day. Like, Friday, Saturday should do really big numbers out there. If Sunday doesn't because Mother's Day, okay, I get it. But Friday, Saturday should do some really – we should be talking about, you know, they're sniffing sellouts this weekend. It should not be a conversation of, hey, that's a feisty 24 that went out there. No, 30 should be the number on both Friday and Saturday.
I understand the differences in these, so I don't need you guys screaming at me on the text line. But I think we have seen so much Patrick Mahomes, and he has been so good for now so long. I don't want to say you take him for granted, but he makes the routine – or he makes the extreme look so routine. He makes plays that really no other quarterback in the league can make. He makes them so often, you become kind of numb to them. And you don't celebrate them the way that you did when they first happened. Do you think that we do that same thing to Bobby Witt Jr.? He had a 4-hit day today. Like, it's just, and there are some people, and I've noticed this, just over the time talking to various former athletes. How many times do you think we talk to HUD on this show? 50, 60 times? Have you ever noticed the way that HUD talks about some athletes compared to other ones? The way he talks about Randy Johnson is different the way that he talks about other pitchers. The way that he talks about Bo Jackson, the way that he talks about Ozzie Smith, that there are some people that even in a room of really athletic people, they are the 1% of the 1% of the 1%. To go back to the Patrick Mahomes analogy, you hear the way that other NFL players talk about Patrick Mahomes, that they know you can't fool them. They've been doing this their whole lives. They watch film every single day. They know who's really, really good at this thing. That player is Bobby Witt Jr. And the really good players have a way of just making things that are like, He's got four hits today, and it just looked really easy for him today. Like, they talk about baseball being a really, really hard game, the most difficult game, the hardest thing to do to hit a baseball. It hasn't looked like that for Bobby Witt Jr. past his first 50 games. He was a former high school kid who got fast-tracked a little bit. Sure, it took him a little bit to get his sea legs under him. Since then, I mean, he has been one of the five best baseball players in the world. And today is just one of those, four hits. I mean, you know, I'm going to hit 307 this year. I'm going to hit 29 home runs. I'm going to drive in 105 runs. I'll start the All-Star game. And you can just look forward to that for the next decade here in Kansas City. Today was just one of those days of, yeah, he's just much better than everybody else.
I mean, I think Vern said it perfectly in the postgame show. Vern did the whole first segment talking about how great Bubich was today. He talked about how the offense looked better. He talked about how hapless the White Sox are. 10 runs, Garcia staying hot, took a break, came back from break. Oh, yeah, Bobby Witt was great today, too. There is an element of, you know, you fail to appreciate his greatness. Carrington, again, it's cross-sport comparison, but you'll get it. How many Mondays after a Chiefs win have me and you been like, hey, let's lead with X? The lead should really, really be Patrick Mahomes is awesome, but we find another thing to talk about because you almost fail to appreciate the greatness. Both stadiums have a Patrick Mahomes-level talent playing for them. Bobby Witt has been sensational his entire career, and if Aaron Judge weren't just an alien, he would be the frontrunner for MVP right now. And even with him being an alien,
he might honestly still be in the conversation. He might be in the conversation.
Aaron Judge is hitting in the 400s, and it's still not like a foregone conclusion he's won the award because Bobby Witt's a freak. Like, he is beyond impressive. We could do a whole show about how great Bobby Witt is, and one day, the same way we do that with Mahomes, they will do that with Bobby Witt Jr. We'll have whole shows talking about his greatness.
Yeah, I mean, right now he's hitting 325. He's hitting 325. He had five at-bats today. And he had four hits, and he stole two bases today. And it was like, hey, he was really good today. I mean, just a very, very insane run that Bobby Witt Jr. is on, and he is 24 years old. Like, in theory, we haven't gotten to the prime of Bobby Witt Jr. He doesn't turn 25 until June 14th. He doesn't turn 25 until then. And he is, again, he is arguably the second best player in the American League. And you might just argue positional value defensively. Like, you might argue that he is the best player in the, like, you might make that argument, but he is, if you have Aaron Judge one, Bobby Witt Jr. is the second best player, and he's 24 years old. And just, I mean, today was just one of those days that if you are out there, you got a chance to see someone who is just incredibly, incredibly special. Someone on the text line says he has 16 doubles in 38 games. Just, you're not supposed to be that good at playing baseball the way that he is. Let me ask you this, and I haven't even thought about this. This question just popped in my mind. Do you think how good Bobby Witt Jr. is what fuels a lot of the excitement for Jack Caglione? Because the last time we were told that the Royals had this prospect in their minor leagues, he is the next big thing, he is going to be it, and they ended up being right. Jack Caglione kind of looks like Bobby Witt Jr. I'm not saying he will be Bobby Witt Jr., but you remember, for about 2 years, basically from the Royals drafted Bobby Witt Jr., anybody that knew told you, hey, that kid's going to be special. He's going to be really, really good. You guys should keep an eye on him. He is the future of your franchise. And a lot of times, as sports fans, you are lied to. People tell you that this person is the next great thing, and very few people end up being what their projection is and their ceiling is. For a lot of times that we ask for comparisons and ceilings, think of the athletes that actually end up hitting their ceiling. It's a really small number of those people. For how great they told you Bobby Witt Jr. was, they did not lie. He ended up being that great. He might be even better than what they told you he potentially was going to be. Do you think that has also helped fuel the Cags' excitement? Because the last time that you had a prospect in the minors that showed this kind of promise, he turned out to be one of the best players in baseball.
The short answer is yes. And I think Bobby, along with some other, you know, pitching moves and Vinny hitting, has kind of pivoted people's belief in the organization. Because there was a time where the Royals could have brought up anyone, and they were selling a lot of dreams. Hey, this is the next great prospect. Here he comes. This is the next great prospect. Here he comes. And fans were quick to be like, he ain't it. Remember the Adalberto Mondesi experiment? They kept telling us he was going to be special, and he was never, ever special. Then they were saying that same thing about Bobby. Fans were admittedly hesitant because they feel like they've been burned too many times. He was then great. Then the organization told you, hey, Vinny's going to be good too. And then Vinny was good. And then the organization told you, hey, we just added a star pitcher for Aroldis Chapman. And a lot of people were hesitant. And they did. They had added a star. So I think there's a little bit of a hot streak that the organization is on, and that fuels the fire. Remember when there was a time where everyone thought Dayton Moore could have signed me and you, Carrington, and people would be like, oh, what a bullpen find by Dayton Moore. That's the kind of vibe the organization has going on right now.
Coming up on the other side, let's switch gears for just a little bit. What if I told you that there is a basketball tournament that is incredibly exciting with buzzer beaters and upsets? Something tells me you would be really into it. I'll tell you what that is. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, your home for the best food takes in KC.
Regular old American nachos. You know, I don't need jalapenos with mine, just chips, cheese.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 96.5 The Fan.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Can we take a little bit of a break? And I want to talk to you guys about this incredible basketball tournament. Now, I know that you guys love exciting basketball tournaments. In fact, you guys tell me that there are 2 days of a basketball tournament that are your favorite days of the sports calendar. Well, if we can go back in time, I remember the complaint this year about that basketball tournament being how predictable it was, that there were no Cinderellas, there were no upsets, and that basketball tournament was a little bit blah, that you don't just want to see all the top teams win. No, you want some unpredictability. You want some buzzer beaters. You want some excitement. Where's the excitement? We killed Cinderella. We don't know who any of the players are. You remember that? I was here when people were having this conversation. Don't act like that wasn't the talk about your favorite little basketball tournament. Now, what if I told you that right now there is a basketball tournament that is going on in which the best players in the world are participating? What if I told you that this basketball tournament has everything that you felt that other one was missing? It hasn't been predictable. There were a 6 and a 7 seed that won in the first round. Currently, the team that had the best record in the regular season is down 0-2 after losing 2 home games. What if I told you that the greatest shooter in the world, he is potentially going to miss a handful of games, and his team still won game one? What if I told you that the defending champion from last year lost both games on their home floor and now have to go on the road to maybe the toughest environment in the league? What if I told you that there was a basketball tournament right now where a team was down 20 and came back and won on the other team's court? What if I told you that every night on TNT, the same channel you were watching that other basketball tournament on, you were seeing basketball played at the absolute highest level? Is that something that would interest you? Is that something that would make you say, huh, I want to turn that on? It's currently happening. I'm here to help you guys. I want you to tune in because some of you are missing it. The Knicks were down 20. This was you won game one. Of course, you got blown out in game two. Of course, it's no big deal. We'll just move on. Something magical happened yesterday. I don't know if we have ever been able to say this, in our adult life. I don't know if we've ever been able to say this. The New York Knicks are the favorite in the Eastern Conference to go to the finals. Yes, with Jalen Brunson and Karl Anthony Towns and Mikal Bridges. Yes, they are the favorite. Boston looks like they're on the ropes. Madison Square Garden on Saturday is going to be rocking. It's going to be a real who's who of who potentially is going to be out there. It really is. It's going to be a real who's who. I'm looking at the text line. The NBA is trash. The NBA is horrible. Oh, okay. I'm just here to help you guys. You guys were very unhappy with March Madness and the way that it turned out and thought that it was very stale and very predictable. I just want to tell you that everything that you don't think March Madness has, the NBA playoffs currently has. It has been A-plus basketball. It has had the drama, the intrigue. It's been a lot of fun. I would just encourage you to watch it. I also thought about this. There also is a comparison for the Knicks and the Royals. You remember, we were talking about this in the last segment, right? Remember talking about this? We were talking about how John Sherman's belief is just get into the dance. And if you get into the dance and you feel like you build the right roster, anything can happen, right? Is that not the Knicks? The Knicks roster is not perfect. Their best player is 6'2". You usually are not winning the championship if your best player is 6'2". There's just something fun. There's something special. There's something very unique about this Knicks team. Aren't the Knicks the epitome of you just try to build the best roster possible, you try to build some cohesion, and you see what can happen in the postseason? I saw a stat as I was getting ready for the show earlier today, how the Celtics have led like 80 minutes in the series, and the Knicks are like at 12 minutes in the series, but the Knicks have won the first two games of the series. I mean, it's really been improbable what the New York Knicks have done. So I know that some of you tonight, there's no Royals baseball on today. You're looking for something to watch on the television. I'm telling you, you know what you might actually enjoy today if you give it a chance? Warriors Timberwolves. You might like it. It might actually be kind of good. You might look up and be like, oh man, this was kind of fun. I'm telling you, it's great.
No Steph Curry night though, right?
No.
Speaking of the Celtics game, did you see that great play in the last play of the game? One of the best players in the NBA, or so I was told, just went out and made an incredible play. What's his name? He's always making big shots. Oh, that's right. It's Jason Tatum. Did you see the last play of the game when he did nothing? I felt so happy watching that game last night. He's dribbling into no man's land, into triple coverage, and then he gets it blocked. Oh, it warmed my heart because I was on this show yesterday. And you were telling me, the NBA team I pull for, it's over. They're done. It's 2-0. Quit the dream. You got the regular season clearly doesn't matter. You need stars and star power, this, that, and the other. Are we going to get that same conversation about the Celtics and Jason Tatum today, or is that unique to yesterday? Because when Donovan Mitchell dropped 40 in a loss, it was the regular season doesn't matter. You got to rise to the occasion in the playoffs, and stars do star things. Last night, Jason Tatum didn't do star things. So I'm just waiting for you to tell me that same story about how their season's over and the regular season doesn't matter and the Celtics are not star-driven. I'm just waiting.
You've been waiting. You've been waiting to get that anti-Jason
Tatum. I was mad today was a day game. I wish we could have done 4 hours on Jason Tatum.
You've been waiting to get that anti-Jason Tatum movement going is what you've been getting into. That's what you've been waiting to get that anti-Jason Tatum. He has not played well. There's no question that he has played very, very poorly in this series. Did you see his fourth quarter numbers in this series? I mean, it's been, you can't play more poorly as a star player than what Jason Tatum did in their first two games in this series. He has 6 points in the two fourth quarters. He is 1 of 11 from the floor and 0 of 9 from three. I mean, if you want to find out why the Celtics are 0-2, you don't really need to look much further. It's Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum and how he has played is the biggest reason why the Celtics are losing this series. And, I mean, your back is up against the wall. I actually think you need to win both games in New York. I understand. We've seen teams come back 3-1, especially if the Knicks get game three, which is going to be one of the craziest basketball environments, certainly in the NBA in quite some time. the Celtics just haven't played well enough for me to think that they're going to beat the Knicks four times in a row if the Knicks win on Saturday. So obviously Saturday is a must-win. You're down 0-2. I think you got two must-win games. Like, you kind of got to give yourself a little bit of breathing room if you're the Boston Celtics to get back in this series. And it starts with Jason Tatum, who, I mean, he walks around like a top five player. We were having the argument over the winter on whether or not he was the face of the NBA. Well, you got to play better than what you've played so far, because 6 points, 1 of 11 from the floor, and 0 for 9 from 3. That ain't going to get it done against this Knicks team.
Which team in the East is more likely to bounce back and win the series? Because they're both, the 1 and 2 seed are both down 0-2, having lost both games at home.
The Celtics, just because they're healthy.
I think it's Cleveland because the Pacers are worse. And I feel like Madison Square Garden is going to be shaking this weekend with how loud it's going to be. Not that Indiana is some easy environment, but I just think the Pacers are a lesser team, but both teams in the East are in big, big trouble. Big trouble.
No question. There is certainly no question about it. All right, keep it right here. You're listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Rob, remind me tomorrow. I forgot to send it to you because we didn't have a full show. We actually have an update on the kid story. Remember yesterday we talked about the... Well, I'll play it for you guys if you missed it. We talked about this story on yesterday's show, and we actually have an update on this story.
When Lily Moding and her husband first installed this basketball hoop for their two young boys, they thought it would be a way for their family to stay active and healthy. They never dreamed it would become a source of neighborhood drama and the subject of lawsuits and legal action from their neighbor.
I have lost so much sleep over this. It's been so stressful.
Lily says about a year ago, new neighbors moved in next door and raised concerns about the location of their basketball hoop. The Modings discovered it was about 6 inches too close to the property line, so they had it moved with the city's approval.
We had to move it to where you see right now. So that is fully approved by the zoning board.
But it didn't end there. The neighbor filed a restraining order against Lily's husband, which was dismissed with prejudice. They've now filed a civil lawsuit against the family and the city of St. Louis Park, all stemming from this hoop.
I have a sense of dread because we've just been under attack for a year.
The neighbor also asked the court for a temporary injunction to prevent the boys from playing basketball in their own driveway throughout the summer months, citing safety concerns and that kids are trespassing by fetching balls that bounce onto their property. Lily tells me they set limits on what time their kids can play.
Like 20 minutes and then they're off to do something else. So we truly don't feel like we're being unreasonable about any of this.
Now, I did reach out to the neighbor who is behind this lawsuit for comment about all of this, but haven't heard back.
We have an update on that story. They threw the suit out, obviously, because it's a very ridiculous suit. Suit's gone. We play a lot of crazy stories on this show. That might honestly be the craziest story that we played so far this year. A very, very wild story.
I mean, that's the fact that they were like, hey, to make sure our neighbors aren't, angry, we have the kids playing 20-minute bursts. Was it first to five?
You can't even get a good run in.
Unless it's July or August, you ain't sweating.
Yeah, you can't even get a good run in 20 minutes. No. 20 minutes is crazy.
By the way, the lawsuit's claiming, they're trespassing and harm is just...
You can't even go get the ball?
Can't get the ball.
That's nuts.
They had the zoning commission have to come and look. Hey, the first location for the hoop is no good. How well aware are you of your property line where you're calling the city zoning board?
We only have a couple more minutes in the show, Rob. So before we get into some very serious sports things, what show are you currently watching? I haven't asked you this question in a while. I know that you and the wife are usually engaged in some television show. What have the Brentons been watching on the TV?
Friends and Neighbors right now on Apple TV with John Hamm and Olivia Munn.
You love an Apple TV.
If Apple TV is putting a show out, I'm watching it. That's kind of how it works.
I haven't even heard of this show before. You got like a special Apple TV that gets access to shows that the rest of us don't get.
That is, it is fantastic. That and another Apple TV staple, The Studio with Seth Rogen. Those are the two shows we are locked into right now. They are both available on Apple TV. There is something on Paramount we're keeping an eye on, but we're not like locked into. Oh, Lioness. We're a little bit into Lioness, but not as much as Friends and Neighbors. Friends and Neighbors is our guilty pleasure right now.
I have gone back and I'm in the middle of watching House of Cards. I never finished House of Cards.
What? Is that, are we allowed to go back and watch that show? I thought we said erase it from history.
I wanted to see how it finished. I stopped watching it once once Kevin Spacey got kicked off the show. And I was just like, you know that thing, like, man, I never saw how House of Cards ended. How did they write him off the show? So I decided that I was going to go watch it. So I'm in the middle of season two right now.
Oh, so you're starting from the beginning, though, to figure out.
Yeah, I'm just starting the show over. Yeah, no, that's what I've been watching.
It was
literally in my free time, all I'm watching is the NBA playoffs, the Royals, and House of Cards. That's all I'm watching.
It was like a moment in time, like on social media.
It was definitely one of those you had to be there moments.
Yeah, like, I can't remember if it's the end of season one or the beginning of season two with the train and Kate Mara. That was one of those moments where you're like, whoa. Yeah,
it was the beginning of season two.
Yeah, that was a huge moment. And now it feels like I don't really know
what
happened
to the show
after
that. That's the first time I felt like I ever had to watch a show real quick because people couldn't wait to spoil it. You're like, wait, what are we doing here? I'm sorry you work from home, but that doesn't mean that you can now spoil the show. No, it was miserable. You had to hurry up and watch it because somebody couldn't wait to tell you what happened on the show.
That and Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones, maybe your social media is different than my social media. Game of Thrones was one where if you weren't part of it by Monday night, you
it was over.
It was over. You knew what happened.
Yeah, I never actually had Game of Thrones spoiled for me. So when I watched it years after it started, it was all new to me. I had no clue what was going on. I didn't even know about the Red Wedding. I've never been more surprised on a television show what happened in an episode like I was for the Red Wedding. I was all excited, like, oh, man, this is a really good episode. Like, wait, no, what happened? Why are we doing this? Incredible.
Do you know what show has never given us that? House of the Dragon.
I like season one.
Yeah, we're just posturing for a war that's never
coming.
Yeah,
no, season two was a waste of everybody's time. I don't even know why we did that. What is your plan this evening with no Royals to watch?
I don't really know what we're going to do tonight. I'm not uninterested in the Wolves game tonight. It will be one I keep on, but I'm not going to be, you know, locked into it. Maybe a little TV. I mean, it's a nice night. I'll get out and do some grilling tonight. That's probably the play. Get outside, cook some food, kind of hang out. A little R&R before we're back at it on a Friday.
Really excited for tomorrow's show. We're going to have Vern on the show. Let's try to see if we can get another Royals player on the show. We got one.
I know this
week.
For a fact. We are having Chiefs second-round draft pick Omar Norman Lott on the show tomorrow as well.
Oh, wow. Did not know that. I learned something in real time today. I had no clue that we were having Omar Norman Lott join us on the show today. So Vernon
and Omar Norman Lott.
Yeah, so shout out to him for coming on the show tomorrow. Really excited to catch up with him. Is there any other surprise you want to tell me
No
about?
Surprises
Mahomes
now.
Mahomes calling in tomorrow?
That would be a surprise to everyone. Okay, if that happened, we're probably bumping Vern because something terrible has happened.
Yeah, no.
He's not really a let's just call in for the vibes in May kind of guest.
Or it could be incredible news. Whatever.
That's true.
It could be incredible news. Like, hey, I just missed you guys and I wanted to talk. Okay, yeah, let's talk. What do you want to talk about? We'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. What have you been up to? What's been going on?
How was Miami?
Yeah, what's been going on? So we'll see. Tonight, there's only one NBA playoff game. That game is at 7:30. That game is between Golden State and Minnesota. Someone on the text line says the ECHL hockey playoffs start tonight. The Mavericks, they are in game three. Good luck to the, are they the Missouri Mavericks? The case, what's their team name now?
I believe Missouri, right?
I don't know.
I think they're Missouri Mavericks because they're not in
Kansas. They used to be the Independence Mavericks or the, I don't know what they used to be.
I think the Missouri Mavericks.
Shout out to them, though. I hope they win today. I'm pulling for them in their game today. All right. We are off today. Today was a little bit of a weird show with the Royals, but we will be back for our normal show tomorrow. I'm excited. Hopefully you are excited. We will have a Chiefs player join us and Vern join us tomorrow. So a very busy 2 to 6 tomorrow. Take care of yourself. Have a great evening. We'll catch you tomorrow. It's The Drive.